Especially if I filled a workshop, didn't go well. But I've had complaints about my humor, so I'll try and keep my humor brief. On occasion, I've had an argument in the workshop with one time with a professor who didn't like what I said. Another professor didn't invite me back, so then we had to bring our colleague in, who's a really good public speaker, to do the damage control. Anyway, so I'll try and be good. I might say something that you may not agree with. Sometimes I get excited and I over-exaggerate, so that's my warning. I will keep this to 30 minutes, maybe less. I've learned over the years, sometimes I used to speak for a very long time, that people got bored, so I once had a couple of people in the front row sleeping while I was speaking. So I've had various circumstances, so I've learned to keep my presentations very brief. Also, I'm going to give credit to AI, because AI helped me create this presentation there. I was trying this out. I did have to do a bit of editing. So there are some AI images. I think that might be an AI image. I also tried to put real images in there. Anyway, next slide. Okay, great. All right, so this is one of my favorite scriptures. I have to read it. My memory's not great. It's pretty straightforward. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting, or it says endures forever. I'm not sure what version that is. I really like this verse, and this verse has helped me so much, and I think this verse also encapsulates what I'm going to talk about today. We hear a lot about giving thanks. Now, I don't promote faith in giving thanks. I promote faith in God. But giving thanks is helpful. But notice, though, it's give thanks, Lord. Why? Why do we give thanks to God? Number one, he is good. Whether we feel like it or not, he is good. And then along with that, because his loving kindness endures forever, which I am so thankful for, that God's love does not change. And so that's what I'm going to talk about today. I will share a little story. I used to struggle with depression fairly significantly. I can still be prone, so I have to be careful. But I remember one night, this is a long time ago, I think it was about minus 30. I was dressed up. I went for a walk. I lived with Titus and another Dean Boder. And I was really struggling with depression. And I remember I was so depressed that I thought, okay, I'm just going to lay down, and maybe I'll just lay down, because I had heard that if it's cold, to die from cold is fairly painless, because you just kind of drift off. So I laid down, got kind of boring after a while, so I got up again, went home. But one of the things that helped me move out of that depression was really simple. Giving thanks for in the face of whatever I felt like. I mean, I've seen so many times, and again, I'm not promoting faith and giving thanks, but giving thanks to God, I've seen my feelings swing from really low to up here, so giving thanks, and also remembering and being rooted in God's love has been so helpful for me. And this is something I come back to again and again. Even this morning, I got up, we had a bit of a, well, I don't know what to call last night, but anyways, it was a fun night. And I felt, oh, I don't know if I can go to the Lord. I often when I get up, sometimes I think about, okay, I didn't do this. I should have done that. I mean, some things I've done that weren't good. Some things I felt I wish I had done that were good. You know, this kind of barrage of thoughts. It was 4 a.m. I typically get up around between 4 and 5 every day. And I just felt kind of heavy. And then I remembered this verse. One of the things I also do is I give thanks out loud, because our voice has power. So I gave thanks. I went meditating this verse, and it just shifted again. And it gave me courage to, you know what, Lord? Yeah, maybe yesterday wasn't perfect, but you know what? That's fine, because you are good, and your loving kindness is amazing. So that's a little story. Okay, next slide. All right, so why do we need to talk about God's love? Now, we talk a lot about God's love, and if you were kind of listening to the various worship songs, most of the worship songs were about his love. In fact, many of the songs were directly about his love. They talked about his love. So why do we need to hear it? And I think the danger, well, there's probably a couple of dangers. I am a bit of a pessimist. So one of the dangers is that we think, and I remember this once. I used to go to this outreach called The Reach, downtown East Side Village, and they had this phenomenal speaker, Steve. Like, he was amazing. And typically he would talk about God's love to the people there, typically the marginalized people who might have been social assistance, not a lot of money, maybe some street people, and Steve would always talk about his love. And one of my friends said, you know what, I wish Steve wouldn't just talk about his love all the time. He needs to talk about some other things. And yes, there are other topics, but I disagree with them, and I've also read too, I think I've read that some churches focus too much on the love of God. I don't think that's an issue. I think the problem is that our focus on love of God is so small, whereas we need a bigger picture of God's love, what it is, why he loves us, and the power behind knowing that he loves us. And if you think about it, the gospel that Paul preached, Romans chapter 1, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone, not just unsaved, but it's also the power of God for us as Christians. And at the heart of the gospel is his love. John 3:16, sometimes I get numbers mixed up. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And what is eternal life? Later, Jesus says, eternal life is about knowing the Father, knowing the Son. So the love of God is at the center of the gospel, and the love of God goes from the very beginning. We see that in Genesis, his love through the people he chose. We see that at the end in Revelations, written by John, we believe, who talked about his love nonstop. And a second thing is, you know, we can talk about the love of God, but I kind of wonder, again, I'm a little bit of a pessimist, even some of the songs we I honestly wonder, do we really believe what we're singing? Some songs I don't sing sometimes because I think, I don't really believe that. Not that it's not true, but I know I don't believe that. We sing about his love, but do we really believe his love? Or is it just something that we kind of know, it's in the background, we think about it, it's in our head, whereas the love of God, there is a mental part, but I think there's also a heart part. You know, have we really grasped the love of God? And it's easy to lose sight of the love of God. Well, first of all, someone calls these bodies, what do they call them? Earth suits or flesh suits. We live in these bodies. Before we became Christians, we grew up in a family where love realistically was often conditional. So we've been trained that love is conditional. And the reality is that, you know, as we go out there, we go about and do our day, work, or whatever it is, often that love that we get from others or validation, it is conditional. It's based on our performance. It's performance-based love. And I think, and to a certain extent, all of our love is like that, I think. Again, I'm a pessimist. So I think just by default, because we're in this world, in this place, it's easy. There's this pressure against believing the love of God. There's this amazing, incredible gift that God has given to us. This gospel is this incredible gift, free to us, but at a great cost to God. It's easy for it to become somewhat unreal, just by default, the world we live in. Can I count my fingers? Yes, I'm not good at this. Okay, third, there we are. Third, whether we like it or not, we have an enemy. Now, I think often we either ignore the fact of enemy or we over-spiritualize this enemy. Like, there's spirits here, we've got to bind this spirit, loose the spirit here. Whereas, and maybe that's true, I don't know. But the reality is that Satan is at work in us, or in our thoughts, not through these big things, but often through the thoughts that we have. All the thoughts that we have are not ours. I don't know if you're aware of that. At some point, they do become ours if we latch on to a thought. But Satan, who's called in Revelations the accuser, the accuser of the brethren, is accusing us, planting thoughts, putting thoughts in there that we can either grab onto, or we might even think these thoughts are ours, so we're going to grab onto it, or kind of reject. And I believe Satan is constantly at work minimizing the fact that God loves you. Like, he might say to me, you know, look at yesterday. It wasn't a horrible day, just as a side note. I didn't do anything really, really bad or anything. But look at you. You should have been, you should have spent more time with the Lord. You should have gotten up and spent an hour with the Lord. But you didn't. Instead, you got up, had a coffee, read a bit of a fantasy book, watched your pond for a while, started cleaning. But you didn't spend an hour with me. Or he might say, which is true. I mean, his accusation actually was probably true. I don't know, maybe it would have been good if I'd done that. Or he might say, why didn't you talk about Jesus to your in-laws? Why didn't you say anything? And on and on and on. And underneath all of that is that undercurrent that you're not enough, that God really doesn't love you. Or if he loves you, maybe he doesn't really like you. You know, he's got favorite people who are over here, people who pray a lot, witness a lot, always on fire, Lord. Then he's got people over here who are kind of a little bit, you know, lukewarm. They're not always seeking him. These people he loves. I don't know if you've ever had that feeling. I used to feel like a second-class Christian for quite a while. At one time, our fellowship was quite legalistic, but we've changed a lot. Anyway, so why do we need to talk about God's love? Well, because we live in this world, it's easy to forget about his love, and we've got an enemy. Next slide. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about that. Why should this matter? I mean, I've already started talking about it, but let's go a little bit deeper. Number one, I mean, God makes a big deal about his love. If we look at, I realize I made a strategic error here after. I should put some scripture on screen. But if we look at 1 Corinthians 13:13, here, I'll read that. Paul makes the bold statement. Do I have my glasses? Yes. Paul makes the bold statement that, here, let me find this. Bible, right. So it's that famous chapter on love, and at the very end of it, he ends like this. So now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. So God makes, first of all, makes a really big deal about love. So if he makes a big deal about love, we know that we need to make a big deal about love. And I've lost my, there, okay. And here's a couple, I'm sure there's many reasons. Here's a reason that's near and dear to me. You know, in those moments in life, and we all face those moments, and if you haven't faced those moments, I'm not sure what to say. Maybe, but you probably need to talk to me. But in our life is full of difficulty. Sometimes people, when they talk about the gospel, they give you the erroneous impression, misleading and also dangerous, that when you become a Christian, suddenly everything is going to be great. You're going to have money, health, you're going to do really well at work. I've known a lot of Christians, and that's not true. We have difficulties. Not that we don't meet in God in those difficulties, but we have difficulties. And there's times when we're in that pit, when we're discouraged about what's happening around us, in us, maybe discouraged about our own walk with God. And so when we're in that pit, I find one of the key scriptures that helps me is about his love. And that's Lamentations 3, 20, 3 verses 20 to 23. I'll just find that and I'll read that. I love this scripture. And Lamentations is a pretty, shall we say, not a bleak book, but I love this. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So love is connected with hope, and we need hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It says in Romans chapter 8 that nothing can separate us from the love of God. His mercies never come to an end. So mercy and love, mercy is God not dealing with us the way we deserve, is connected. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. I mean, I can't count how many times when I've been discouraged, I go back to this scripture and I remind myself of God's love. And it gives me that courage and that faith to keep on going. So love gives us perseverance. Third point, and again, there's probably many reasons why we need to remember the love of God. I love Ephesians. There's two prayers. I struggle. Does anybody ever struggle with prayer? I have to admit, I confess, I struggle with prayer. I sometimes think, like, I don't know what to pray. Or I feel, is this really a valid prayer? I think maybe I overthink stuff too much. I think, is this really an effective prayer? Does it really have any power? So what I love to do is I love to go to the prayers that I see in the Bible, and I pray those. I'm not necessarily pray them word for word, but I pray through them. I think about them. I've even written out some prayers that I can pray for people based on prayers in the Bible. But if you go to Ephesians chapter 3, there's two prayers in Ephesians, I think chapter 2 and chapter 3, or chapter 1 and chapter 3. I'm going to go to this one here. All right. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of the glory, he may grant to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. This is ESV. Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So Christ is in us, but we need that life to be expressed through us. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, we have a beginning, we're loved, may have strength, or I think some versions say the power, to comprehend or grasp with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know. And this isn't just an intellectual knowing, this is a deep inner knowing. I don't know if it's the same know that Jesus used when he talked about this is eternal life, that you may know God or know the Father, know me. To know the love of God that surpasses knowledge. So there's a level that goes beyond knowledge. That you may be filled, and this is the key thing, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So knowing God, knowing God's love, abiding in it is connected with being filled with all the fullness of God. That's incredible. As Christians, as saints, we all want that. This is our desire. Now, that desire may wane at times as we get distracted or things happen in life, but that is our desire as Christians. So that can't happen without us grasping the love of God. So this is really important. Next slide. So that's why. Why is love important? Why should we care about the love of God? And I'm going to talk now about what happens when we're not anchored in the love of God. Well, first of all, I've gone through various cycles, when I'm not anchored in the fact that God loves me, I'm not really going to draw near to him that much. You know, it's like Or if I think, okay, he kind of loves me, but doesn't really like me that much, doesn't really want to hang out with me. I mean, I might still seek him, but it's like I'm forcing myself to draw near. Okay, I should spend time with the Lord. I'm going to spend 5 minutes a day with my coffee, of course. One cream, black. We have to force ourselves, and it's hard. It's like moving towards God through, I don't know, it's like we're going through like mud. Our legs are dragging. And often, you know, if we don't really think that God loves us, that time is probably not going to be very productive, I'm assuming. So if we're not rooted in that love, we're not going to be spending that time with God. So I think that knowing that we're loved, connected with spending time with him. And the other big thing about if we're not set on the fact that God loves us, we are going to enter in what I call performance-based Christianity, which I think is a really big problem, probably bigger than we actually think. And performance-based Christianity is about doing things so God will love us. So Norm, when he talked about giving money, was very specific. He said, first of all, he mentioned that is tithing really biblical? Probably not, but that's a whole other issue. But he talked about giving money. We don't do it because we're going to get something. We give because God's blessed us versus, as an example, people give money. I'm going to give money. I don't really want to, but I give it so I can get blessed. That's called performance-based Christianity. So we'll start doing things. If I do this, if I spend time with the Lord, I had a friend who witnessed. He was very big on witnessing, and I want to do more of that, but he was so big on it. And I think for him, that was his religion, was witnessing about the Lord. And I think, for example, I'll pick on my friend who's unknown to you. I think for him, that was his performance. You know, if I witness enough, then I'm okay before God. Then he'll love me, as an example. So it's easy to fall on this treadmill. If I do these things, God will love me. And that's just a dangerous treadmill because the reality is we can never do enough. There's always something more we can do. There's always someone. You know, I used to read these books, these just incredible saints, and I'd look at them and think, well, they're up here, I'm down here, I'm toast. Because there's always someone who does more than us. So if that's our motivation, we're in trouble. And then if our motivation is to earn God's love, it'll never be enough. We're on that treadmill, we're going to get discouraged, and it's going to be this vicious cycle, which I suspect is the reason why you'll see a lot of people who start off strong as Christians and eventually kind of fade away. Next slide. So I'm really practical. In all my workshops, I want people to walk away. What are some practical strategies? And I believe it's not enough to say you should love God or God loves you. But how do we become more anchored in his love? If it's so important, if it matters, if not being grounded in love can have some significant effects, adverse effects, and walk them, how do we become grounded? Well, first of all, I think it's important, and we've been talking about this, that we need a practice of whatever that looks like for you or for anyone, of thinking about God's love. Meditating on God's love. And I think it can look different for anyone, but ultimately it has to come back to his scripture, the word, you know, the gospel, where we can meditate on the scriptures like God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And there's just so many. I'm trying to think of some right now. Scriptures like, I think in 1 John it says, We know and rely on the love that God has for us. We love because we're first loved. There's all kinds of scriptures in the New Testament and the Old Testament about God's love. So regularly reflecting on it. So for myself, and you're welcome to have this, I've written a devotional/meditation, which I read periodically, that talks about his love. I've also written a devotional meditation that summarizes the gospel, which is connected with his love. And I regularly will meditate on these things, speak them out loud. So, but again, everyone's, we all might have her own approach to it, but at the end of the day, it's key that we regularly reflect, think about the love of God and how much he loves us, and not just us, because he also loves the world. He died for everyone, and it's also important that we spend time thinking about us. Otherwise, Christianity can almost become this little bubble where we just think about ourselves. God loves me. Yes, he loves me, but he also loves the world. He died for everyone. He paid the price for the sins of everyone. Secondly, prayer. I'm going back to the prayer in Ephesians 3. We can pray regularly for ourselves and for other people about God giving us the power to grasp the breadth, the width, the depth, and the height of the love of God. So I think prayer is key, that we need to be asking God to give us that revelation, or to grow us in that revelation. We've had that revelation of his incredible love. And then third, I think this is important. Oops, sorry. This might seem like, I didn't wreck that. A minor point. But one of the things I think that happens in Christianity that's quite dominant is we ask God to help us. And I'm okay. I think asking God to help us is good. I'm not saying we shouldn't ask God to help us. But we can say, you know, God, help me to love other people. But I think if you go a little bit further, I mean, I love that. I think any time we talk to God, i.e. prayer, is good. But I think even more accurate is the Testament makes this outrageous declaration that we don't think a lot about, and we don't even hear a lot about it. This declaration that Jesus lives inside us. Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. 2, Colossians 3, Christ is our life. Galatians 2:20, the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Actually, before that it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I live, but Christ lives in us. Now, do we have to do something special? No, Christ lives in each one of us, so his love lives in us. So one thing I will do at times, I'll say, you know what, Lord, I don't really like this person. I've tried to love this person. It's not working. In fact, recently I had this intense, it happened about 3 weeks ago, probably one of my strongest intense dislikes of anyone I've had. I had this intense dislike of this person. And to be fair, there's many people who probably irritate me and annoy me, students who argue with me, or but, you know, don't tell them that. But, you know, I can try to love people, but I've come more and more to say, yes, I want to love these people, but I've started to say, you know, Jesus, you're in me. Your love is in me. Love them through me. So it's not God help me to love that person. It's him loving them through me, which I think is might seem small, but is more theological and accurate. Because at the end of the day, if we try and rely on our own ability to love people, yes, we remind ourselves about the love of God, be deliberate. Yes, we ask for revelation. But I've got 5 minutes. My wife is looking at her watch. So I'm keeping track. I've learned, I'm going to finish right on time, 30 minutes. I'm very good at that. But at the end of the day, we need to rely on Christ to love people through us. That is the Christian life. If we think it's all about God trying to help us, you're going to get to a point where you realize that's just not good enough. God has to do it through me. In fact, I'd go as far as to say that God will leave problems in our life that we just cannot conquer on our own ability because he wants us to learn to live through him. That's why he came down here. Christ knew the hope of glory. So that's a side note. Okay, next slide. All right, so as an example, traffic. I don't know about you, but traffic really bugs me. I'm out there. Do you realize that I get to work an hour early? Well, and I don't necessarily, if I'm really busy, I'll work on work, but often I don't. I just do my own thing. Why do I get to work an hour early? Because I don't want to drive in traffic. I don't want to, there's this turn out of our house where we don't have the right of way and there's all these cars coming down. You basically have to force yourself in. I don't want to do that. So I get to work an hour early to avoid traffic. That's how much I dislike it. But even then, I still can't avoid the traffic. Coming home, there's lots of traffic. So I'll get people, or I'm trying to merge on Stony. They're going 70 kilometers an hour and I'm gritting my teeth. Or I see the one person who goes across all three lanes in Stony, then back to the other two lanes because they want to get 2 minutes ahead. Sometimes I do that. No, you didn't hear that. So I don't like that. I don't like getting irritated people. So what I've come to do is, well, first of all, I remind myself that my driving is far from perfect. But also I say, you know what? Jesus, you love them through me. That's an example. After criticism, we all face criticism. I've got 3 minutes. After we're criticized, what do? Do we say, well, you know what? That's not true. Or I don't like that person. We could say that, but you know, if we come back to the fact, you know what, Lord, maybe something about the criticism is true, or maybe I failed here, but that doesn't change the fact that you love me. Not because you see anything amazing in me. Some people say that God believes in you. I don't think that's true either. That's another common line. God didn't choose us because he saw something amazing in us. God chose us because he loves us. We were broken. We're dead in our trespasses. Why would God think we're amazing? So God, I come back to, you know what? Maybe I blew it here. Maybe my colleague is better at presentations than me or is more exciting. That may be true. But you know what? God loves me. And you love me not because I do the best presentations, not because I always say the right thing. You love me. That's because who you are. And that can help us move away from, because one of the dangers is we'll seek validation from other people. It helps us to move away from that. All right, next slide. I'm coming to the Lord's end. So, I've got 2 minutes. So I'm going to have you say along with me. I know you've probably done this before. It's not brand new, but I'm going to have you repeat after me out loud so we can hear you. Okay, does that make sense? I'll say line at a time. So, I am fully loved. I am completely accepted in Jesus.
I am completely accepted in Jesus.
And Christ is my life.
And I live from his love.
And that's true. We may not necessarily walk in that, but that isn't true. But it starts with believing what he says in the word. Next slide. Look at this. Okay, there. 1 minute. Okay. So, just to quickly summarize, God's love isn't just something we need to hear when we first come to Jesus. God's love isn't something we need to hear when early on in our Christian walk. God's love, I mean, in a sense, it's the journey. We grow and we walk and we come to know his love more and more and walk in his love. Secondly, what does that look outwardly? Well, the reality is that we love because we are loved. And it's so key that we keep on coming back that I'm loved. And as we abide in that love, then loving people is not difficult. We're going to be bolder about talking about God because we're love, perfect love casts out all fear. People rooted in love, abide in my love, bear fruit. So I'd encourage you, maybe this week, to think a little bit about the love of God, to find a scripture about the love of God, and consider it and bring it back to God. That's it. I see half an hour. Yeah, yes, I...